Well, it's great to be with you this morning. It's actually a very humbling experience for me. I grew up with my family coming to Myrtle Beach for vacation and worshiping here at Surfside over 20 years ago. And so to be preaching here to you in this pulpit this morning is really a humbling and overwhelming experience. Today's an exciting day in our lives, isn't it? The beginning of a new year, 2022. It's an exciting time. And I don't know about you, but I'm a person who sometimes likes to make New Year's resolutions. I don't always keep those resolutions, but from year to year, I like to make New Year's resolutions. And I was reading this week about the history of New Year's resolutions. Where did this idea come from? It actually dates back at least 4,000 years to the Babylonians. The Babylonians would make resolutions to their false gods, resolutions that they would seek to please this false god by making better sacrifices or by living better lives. Several years later, thousands of years later, the Romans would make resolutions to their false gods, believing that one particular god determined their future, and if they just made the correct sacrifices at the right times, then that god would bless them in the new year. Actually, later on, John Wesley and the Methodists, the Christians, established covenant renewal services on December 31st and January 1st, where believers would come together and they would repent of their sin and they would make commitments to the Lord for the new year. Many churches that you may know in this area throughout our state have covenant renewal services today. So I wonder, what are you resolved to do this year? You know, a resolution is something that you are determined to accomplish. What is it that at the end of 2022 you want to say, I did this with the help of God? What are you determined to do this year? What can you not end the year without accomplishing? Now, this morning, our passage that we've seen in 2 Timothy, it speaks of the power of God's Word. It speaks of God's Word, the power to accomplish many things in our lives, to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to train us in righteousness, to make us wise for salvation. And so as we come together at the beginning of a new year, may it be your resolution, may you be determined to read and study God's Word in 2022, that at the end of this year you might say, through the help of God, I was determined, I was resolved, I was resolute to read and study God's Word. May that be your resolution this year. As we study this passage, before we study this passage, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord God, we do thank you for this wonderful time of worship that we've already begun, Lord, and Father, for the Word that you have given to us through the Apostle Paul. And so, Father, we ask that you would implant this Word deep in our hearts. Father, may you pierce and penetrate our hearts. Father, convict us of our sin and where we have fallen short. And Father, point us to the ways that we might change to become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to be people who love your Word, who meditate on your Word day and night, who study your Word. May that be our resolution in 2022, Lord, with the help of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I want you to see six specific things in this passage this morning. I'm usually a three-point sermon guy, so this is a little different for me that there are six points. And if you're taking notes, you can go ahead and write these down from our passage in 2 Timothy 3. First, all Scripture is God-breathed. Second, the Word of God is able to make you wise for salvation. Third, the Word of God teaches. Fourth, the Word of God reproves. Fifth, the Word of God corrects. And then sixth, finally, the Word of God trains in righteousness. So number one, all Scripture is God-breathed. We have to begin with this point as we approach Scripture, knowing and trusting that every word of Scripture is divinely inspired. It is from the very mouth of God. Of course, God doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't have a body like men. But he gives us that image so we can understand these are the very words of God. All Scripture is trustworthy and true. There is no error. There is nothing false in any of the words of Scripture. No jot or tittle is wrong. It is all perfect because it all comes from the God of truth. John 17, Jesus proclaims this truth. He says, your word is truth. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And so as we approach Scripture this morning, as we approach Scripture any time, we have to remember these are the very words of God. They are all divinely inspired. They are all perfect, without error, completely trustworthy and true. Paul tells us all Scripture is God-breathed, and so you must trust every word in Scripture. Second, our passage this morning tells us the Word of God is able to make you wise for salvation. Look again, if you would, at verses 14 and 15. It says this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul says these sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation. Now, able is a key word in our text. Remember, Paul is originally writing in the Greek language, and when you see that word able, it's from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis means power. It's actually where we get our word dynamite. So Paul's saying the Scriptures are powerful. It's not just another book to read. It's not just a collection of stories. These are not just wise words for life. These are not just life hacks, if you will. It's the very Word of God, breathed out by God, and every word is full of power. It's dynamite, he says. When you read the Scripture, the truth explodes in your heart. Paul says it's powerful enough to make you wise for salvation. Remember what the author of Hebrews said, Hebrews chapter 4. "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Have you experienced Scripture in that way? Have you experienced the power of Scripture? That when you read it, it's like holding dynamite. The truth is exploding off the page. The Scripture made Timothy wise to salvation. Paul is writing to his protege, Timothy, here in 1 and 2 Timothy. Timothy, a young pastor. But you actually read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 how Timothy was made wise to salvation, how the power of the Word worked in his life. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." See, Timothy grew up in a believing home with his grandmother and with his mother teaching him the Scriptures, reading the Scriptures to him day by day. Now, surely Timothy read of the story of Adam and Eve and how they fell as they ate the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Surely Timothy read of the great flood and Noah and how God spared Noah and his family. Timothy would have read of the prophet Jonah and his message, "Repent and believe." He read of Isaiah and other prophets who spoke of Jesus Christ, the Savior who would come in the flesh. He, of course, knew the message of Jesus Christ, the one true Savior, who all who call on His name will be saved. See, from a young age, Timothy was taught the Scriptures. The power of the Scriptures worked in his heart until he was made wise to salvation. What a testimony that is. What an encouragement that is. Especially for families. It's a great encouragement to me as I raise my own children, seek to raise them in the Word, that the Word is powerful. As you're consistent in the Word in your home, that it makes your children wise to salvation. Parents, be faithful. Continue in the Word with your children. And Martin Luther testified of the power of the Word to salvation. And Martin Luther was a monk who studied the Scriptures for many years, and yet he hated God. He hated that God was righteous and he wasn't righteous until he read in Romans chapter 1. He read this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Martin Luther said, this to me was the gate of paradise. The Lord opened his eyes, the scales fell off, and he came to faith through the power of the Word that made him wise to salvation. And personally, for me, God made me wise to salvation by reading Ephesians chapter 2. For grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And as I read that as a middle school boy under my father, who's a pastor, listening to those words, I was made wise to salvation. But what about you? Do you know the power of the Scriptures? Do you know that they are able to make you wise to salvation? James in James chapter 1 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word. Humble yourselves and receive the word. It is able to save your souls." Have you received the word that is able to make you wise to salvation? Have you trusted not in yourself, not in any other but Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in the power of salvation that is contained in the Scriptures, which is Christ alone, the good news of the gospel? Well, third, this morning we see that the Word of God teaches. Verse 16 tells us, "All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching." Now, I want you to think back when you first began to read. Now, some of your children are learning to read right now. My children are learning to read right now. Personally, for me, I've been reading for almost 30 years. But you know, there are still words and phrases and things as I read and continue to read. There's still things that I have never heard. Now, just this past week, I was reading in the Puritans, and they referred to a woman as a strumpet. That's something that I had never really come across before. So you're continually learning as you read. It's the same thing with the Scripture. The Scripture continually teaches you. Every word of Scripture is profitable for teaching. It's a lifelong pursuit. You know, you don't just read John 3:16 and say, "Okay, I've believed, I'm saved, close the Bible up, put it on the shelf, and you're done." Now, you continually go back to the Word day by day by day, because all Scripture is profitable for teaching. You know, it's the teaching that Paul describes here. This is the entire body of truth of the Scripture. It is all doctrine contained in the Scripture. I don't know about you, but I have not wrapped my head around every single doctrine in Scripture. It's a continual lifelong pursuit of the teaching, the knowledge in God's Word. For example, the doctrine of original sin. As we read the Scripture, we learn that all are born in sin and in need of a Savior. As we read Scripture, we learn the doctrine of adoption, that those saved are welcomed into God's family. We are able to cry out, "Abba, Father." The doctrine of sanctification, the believers grow in holiness. And on and on and on. This is all the teaching of God's Word. Every doctrine, all teaching is profitable, Paul says, for building you up, for building that body of truth, continually building a body of knowledge, a catalog of truth. So what about you? Are you continually learning from the truth of Scripture? Are you continually looking to your teacher, God's Word, hungry for more knowledge, hungry for more knowledge of God and your Savior, hungry to know more of the doctrine of Scripture, this great body of truth? Believer, don't be content just to know the basics of salvation and then put the Bible on the shelf. Look to the Scriptures for this teaching that builds you up day after day after day. You need to be in the Word. It's great that you're here this morning, that you're with God's people. It's no accident you're here. It's God's providence that you're here with His people worshiping and learning from the Scripture, the teaching of God's Word. But you need to be here every week that you're able. You need to be encouraging one another to be in the Scriptures and to be looking to this teaching. And again, families, encourage your children to be looking to the teaching of God's Word. All of it is profitable. Well, fourth, the Word of God reproves. Reproof meaning that Scripture, it tells you what to do, but reproof means it tells you what not to do. You know, just as you're building up a body of truth, of teaching, you're also seeing things that you should not do. You're seeing examples of, here's how a sinner lives, and I don't want to be that way. We could call this the conviction of sin. The work of reproof is showing you your sin, your need of a Savior, pointing you through the help of the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ. And we've all had this experience. Many times we come into church and we don't know what's going to be preached or what's going to be taught. And yet the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. When the truth is brought before us, God lays that on our heart, and we're astounded by our sin. Every believer has had that experience. For example, when you read in Deuteronomy that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, you begin to think, I haven't done that. I've fallen short. God, help me. I'm a sinner. I have loved other things more than I have loved you. I haven't loved you with all my heart. That's the work of reproof. When you read in James that he says the tongue is full of evil and deadly poison, that we bless God with it and curse one another, you say, yes, Lord, I have done that. Even today or even this week, I've used my tongue in a way that was not pleasing to you. That's the work of reproof. When you read in 1 Corinthians that love is patient and kind, it doesn't envy or boast or keep record of wrongs, it hopes and believes all things, it never fails. You say, Lord, I have not loved in that way. You're convicted of your sin where you've fallen short. That's the work of reproof. So Scripture reproves us. It convicts us of sin. It shows us where we fall short. The fifth, the Word of God corrects us. You know, Paul tells us here, he uses another interesting Greek word in verse 16. When he says the Word of God corrects, he's saying that the Word of God straightens us back out. You know, I haven't been to a chiropractor myself, but I have many friends who go to the chiropractor on a regular basis. And they say things like, I need to go so that I can have an adjustment, so that I can be straightened out. And they have these regular appointments to get straightened out. And essentially that's what Paul is saying when he says that the Word of God corrects. It straightens us back out. We need the Word of God to adjust us, to remind us of our sin, where we've fallen short. It convicts us, and at the same time, it adjusts us to a straight path. It corrects you. It gets you straightened back out. You know, one of the best ways that Scripture straightens you back out is by pointing you to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, of course, who is the standard of perfection. There is no curve at all in His life. He is perfectly on the straight and narrow. Jesus Christ was tempted, yet without sin. He was tempted in the desert, if you'll remember, by Satan himself, but did not sin. Jesus Christ lovingly spoke and taught to those who were outcasts, like lepers and tax collectors, prostitutes and sinners. He shows us an example of the straight and narrow of how we should treat those in our lives. Jesus Christ prayed for those who hated Him. He forgave those who nailed Him to the cross. Jesus Christ was full of compassion and kindness and love for all people. Jesus Christ honored His Father perfectly in every way. He never fell short of perfectly honoring His Father. You know, we often think of Christ not sinning, but it wasn't just that He didn't sin. It was that He, at the same time, He perfectly honored His Father in all of His words, in all of His deeds, in all of His thoughts, in everything that He did. And so as we look at the life of Jesus Christ, as we study our Savior, it straightens us back out. It points us to a model of that's how I should live. This is what Scripture is calling me to. This is the standard that God has called me to. And we get straightened back out, corrected by the Word of God. Believer, you should expect every time you come to the Word of God, whether it be at home in your private devotionals, in your family worship time, here on Wednesday night, Bible study, or here on the Lord's Day, every time you come to the Word of God, you should expect an adjustment. You should expect to be corrected. You should expect to be straightened out. And isn't that a glorious thing? Isn't that a glorious thing that the Word of God shows us the straight and narrow, how then we should live? Well, sixth, the Word of God trains you in righteousness. Here Paul is describing training like a parent would train a child. How would a parent train a child, or how should a parent train a child? Well, a parent should train a child with gentleness, with kindness, with love, with instruction, with wisdom, with discipline. There's many ways a parent should train a child. And parents, you understand that training a child is something that you never get a break from. Something that you're on 24/7. You're constantly training your children. So Paul says the word of God trains us in righteousness. Righteousness meaning holiness. Righteousness meaning the way that we should live. That Christ is full of righteousness. And so Paul, from Paul's imagery of training up a child, you can understand the way that the word works in your life. It matures you over a period of time. But just as a parent needs to train a child day in and day out, hour by hour, minute by minute, you never have time off from being a parent, the word of God trains you in that same way. It trains you day after day, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, every morning as you read your scripture, every evening as you read your scripture, and as you pray, it trains you over a period of time. You know, children don't just learn how to behave. They don't just learn how to read. They don't just learn how to do right in the world. They don't just come to Christ in a second. It takes years of training and faithfulness, coming to it every single day. It's a slow, methodical discipline. You know, King David in Psalm 1, he said, "On your word I meditate day and night." That's what we're to do with God's word, and it trains us in righteousness, trains us in this slow, ongoing process. And that's why believers who are in the later years of life should be the most mature. Especially if you've been a Christian for a long period of time, for many years, because the word has slowly trained you in righteousness day after day, year after year, until you become more and more like your Savior. Believer, I wonder if you look over your life, if you look at your life a year ago, do you see a growth in righteousness from a year ago to today? If you look back 5 years from today, do you see a growth in holiness? If you look back 10 years from today, do you see a growth in patience and kindness and love? Do you see that you're less irritable? Do you see that you're less jealous? Do you see that you're less wooed by the things of this world? Do you see that you love God more? Do you see that you long to be in worship and fellowship with other believers? Do you see that you're more humble, less contentious? That's the training of righteousness in the Word. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over many, many years, a long period of time. And recently, I was talking with a weightlifting coach who attends our church in Hartsville, and he told me about his strength plan that he uses for all of his students. He says for the heavy lifts, for the big lifts like a squat, he says, I ask my clients to add 3 or 5 pounds every month. And so over the course of a year, they're adding 5 pounds, 5 pounds, 5 pounds. Not 100 pounds at once. They'd be crushed under that. But they add 5 pounds each and every month. And so at the end of the year, they can look back and see, look how far I have come by this slow incremental growth. See, it's the same with God's Word, that training in righteousness, that faithfulness to the Word of God day in and day out. That's how the Word of God works in your life. Be faithful to the Word and the training of the Word in righteousness. Well, how do you respond to this truth? How do you respond to these 6 aspects, these characteristics of the Word of God? How do you respond now that you have seen the power of the Word? Well, look again at verse 14. You'll see Paul's instruction to Timothy. He says, Timothy, continue in what you have learned. What have we learned about the Word of God? We've learned these aspects of the Word of God. It makes us wise to salvation. It corrects us. It reproves us. It trains us in righteousness. We've learned all these wonderful truths about the Word of God. And Paul says, Timothy, continue in those things. Continue, you could also say, means to abide, to dwell, to endure, to remain, to persevere in those truths, to persevere in what you have learned. So, believer, this is a call for you to persevere in the Scriptures. I wonder how many of you this morning feel that you have not persevered in the Scriptures. Other things have taken the place of God's Word in your life. The busyness of life has crowded in and the Word of God has gone out. Commitments of work, commitments of hobbies, commitments of family, maybe even things like Facebook or TV or whatever it might be has come in and the Word of God has gone out. Paul says, believer, continue in the Word of God. Abide in the Word of God. Dwell in the Word of God. Endure, remain, persevere in the Word of God. Believer, you must make the Word of God a priority in your life. This year, look to the Word of God and all the truths that we have seen, all the aspects of the Word of God and how glorious it is. Listen to what Scripture says about those who persevere, those who continue in the Word of God. Mark chapter 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Revelation chapter 2, be faithful to the end and you will receive the crown of life. Philippians chapter 3, press on toward the goal that you may receive the prize. Believer, continue in the Word, persevere in the Word. How do you continue in the Word? It's not just something that you can say, you know what, by my own strength, by my own desire, by my own great love for God that I just have within myself, I'm going to continue in the Word. No, it takes prayer. It takes much prayer. Holy Spirit, God, help me to love Your Word. God, help me to put off those things that I have loved more than You and Your Word. God, give me a great desire, a hunger for Your Word. Help me to see that there is nothing greater in this world. Father, Your Word has the words of eternal life, the words that last forever. Lord, help me to see the foolishness of things that are crowding out the Word of God, the pursuits of this world that don't compare. Look to your community of faith. Look to your church family also to encourage you in the Word, to help you to be persistent, to persevere in the Word. Believers, you should be speaking this to one another. Have you been reading the Scripture? Not so that you can judge one another, but so that you can encourage one another. Have you been in the Word? Have you been studying God's Word? What have you been learning from God's Word? You know, one of the saddest things to me about church is oftentimes after the service, we don't speak of God's Word. We don't speak of our spiritual life. We speak of many things in this world, but not our spiritual life and what we're learning from God's Word. Believers, speak to each other. This is the community of faith. Encourage each other in the Word that you might persevere, that you might continue, that you might endure in the Word. But finally, I want you to see one last thing, the result of the Word working in your life. Verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the end result of Scripture working in your life, that you may be complete. This means being fitted, being ready. You know, I often get my children, we get our children ready to go somewhere, and they may come out and they don't have their shoes on. They may come out, and sometimes my son, who went off to the children's class, he's not here so I can say this, he'll come out and he doesn't have his shirt on. I say, you're not ready to go. You're only partially ready to go. It's incomplete. Paul says Scripture makes you fitted and ready, completely ready to do every good work. That's the work of Scripture in your life. The Word of God makes you ready to go out into the world and do things that are pleasing to your Savior, to do good works, the works that the Lord has prepared beforehand for you that you might walk in them. I love to tell the story of my friend Bobby. Bobby is in his 70s now. He's been a Christian for almost 50 years. He knows Scripture backwards and forwards. He's memorized huge chunks of Scripture. He's a godly man with a godly marriage, wonderful children. He's committed to the church. But Bobby hasn't always been like this. He grew up in the Bronx, New York. Grew up in a Puerto Rican family. He early in his life got involved in a gang, got involved in drugs, was in prison for a while. Bobby was very far from God. He said he wanted to do good, but he just didn't know how. He wanted to make a difference and do right in the world, but he just didn't know how. He was invited to an organization called Teen Challenge. At Teen Challenge, he was met with the Word of God, the words of life that contain the power of salvation. They're able to make you wise to salvation. The Word of God reproved him. It convicted him of sin. He was brought to salvation in Jesus Christ. And over the last 50 years, it's a night and day difference. He's gone from one who was so far away from God to one who is near to God. One who will not miss worship for anything. One who reads His Word and prays every single day. He's been fitted and ready to do good works for God. He's complete, ready for every good work that He's been called to. Believer, I hope that you can say the same today. And if you can't say that today, then look to Jesus Christ. Place your trust in Jesus Christ. Scripture has the words of salvation. Look to the Gospel of John. Look to the Gospels that tell you of the life of Jesus Christ, the one who came and lived and died for sinners. Trust in Jesus Christ. The believer, in 2022, will you make that your resolution? Will you be determined to read and study the Word of God? Will you be resolute to persevere in the Word of God? May that be your resolution this year. And may we please God together in doing that. Let's pray together. Oh Lord God, we do thank You for Your Word. Lord, how it has worked in all of our lives. And Father, we know that it is even working now, that it will not return void. And so, Lord, may You draw us ever closer to Yourself. Father, help us as we seek to persevere in the Word. We surely need Your help, Lord. Help us to encourage one another this year in that pursuit. May we be kind and encouraging and loving to one another in that, Lord. And Father, may ultimately You complete us, that we may be able to accomplish these good works You've prepared for us beforehand. And all this we pray in the name of our Savior, the living Word, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Church family, let's stand together and let's sing this.
Be Thou my wisdom, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my life. Be Thou my wisdom and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and Thou only be first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure Thou art. High King of heaven.
This morning, and I hope to see some of you again sometime, if not on the other side in heaven. But let's hear the Lord's blessing and benediction this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.